you'll know this, mate, 2014, rock bottom, ready to take my own life. Like the PT, got my shit together. People just started gravitating towards me.
Yeah, yeah.
How have you done this, Paul? You're different. How have you changed that? Again, how have you lost that weight? Being around you feels different. I love that, mate.
Yeah.
When people feel it, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then this is what changed everything for me, actually, at this point in my life, was...
Just talk is walking.
Ready?
Let's go, Ollie!
Hey, Paul Mort, how you doing, brother?
Mate, I am doing very well. I'm very excited.
Thank you so
much. You know what's really weird? Doing a podcast where I'm the guest in my podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of mad.
It's pretty cool. This is the second time I've done one where I've been asked someone,
yeah,
and I've gone to their place.
Yeah.
So Stevie Ward, we were speaking about earlier, I went to his in Leeds.
Oh, sick.
But it's funny. So I've come over here in January and I got in and I started doing what I'm doing now with the mindset coaching and stuff like that. And then a friend said, mate, you need to reach out to Paul Mort.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
And I went, really? I said, so I looked up.
Yeah.
Looked up about you and I just loved everything, what you're doing. And
I think
you just
that,
speak
man.
From the heart.
I don't know any other way.
Yeah, but... You might not know, but so many people have been like wrapped up in a little box, so they don't know how to actually speak like that.
Yeah.
So when you see someone so authentic like you, like, man, these are the conversations you want.
And mate, you know, I was thinking about this morning. It sometimes gets me in trouble.
Yeah.
Because not everyone's ready for it.
No.
That's all it is. Some people get upset by it. Some people are like, how can you say that? I'm like, I'm just speaking. It's almost speaking my truth. It doesn't mean it's everyone's truth, but it's not everyone's cup of tea either.
No, but then again, I think this is just life in general, Paul, but like, you don't want to be liked by everyone either.
No.
You can't be liked by everyone. If you're trying to please everyone, then you're losing who you are.
Well, the most important thing is to like yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that I hadn't even thought about this until just now, which is it's the right message for the right people, but at the right time. Because some people, it's not that they're the wrong people. It's just, it's not the right time for them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Funny enough, I was talking about on a walk this morning. I'm doing this thing right now where I'm walking with this weighted vest on, right? We've got an event in end of June with the lads from Through Doc, ex-SAS guys. Wow. So we're taking with some fitness stuff. A couple of guys off SAS Who Dares Wins. That we're taking all our guys down there. And so I'm walking with this weighted vest on in the minute. And I was thinking to myself, how long will it be before someone makes a video or says something taking the piss?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, do you know, it's really interesting because I'm seeing my feed right now on Instagram and Facebook is full of people taking the piss out of people to do ice baths.
Yeah, right? Man, I've seen this.
And I find it funny because, mate, even back a few years, I would take the piss out of people that did yoga. Yesterday I was in yoga. Tomorrow night I'm in yoga.
Yeah.
I'd take the piss out of people that meditated. I'd meditate every day.
Yeah, yeah.
I took the piss out of people that journaled. Be like, you a fucking teenage girl or something.
Yeah,
and then it's mad that I've had a full turnaround and I was saying to the guys in my Telegram, I was like, you know, we take the piss out of things that we don't understand.
Mm.
Or, this is the worst part, shit that we can't do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy
to
take the piss out of things that you can't do, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's funny, like, you bang on what you said then. I remember when I started trying to meditate and get into it. Prior to that, these fucking tree huggers, you know what I mean? Next thing you know, you're one of
the exact phrase that I used. Exact phrase
Is
that
it?
I used. Exact phrase, yeah. Yeah. Do you know what blew my mind on it? I went on an event last August. It was in London, right?
Yeah,
it was
this
guy, Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's a fucking G, right? And it was an expensive, I think it was about $3,000 for a week, right? And it was at the XL. And I went there, there was 3,000 people there. Dude got paid fucking like $8-9 million.
Oh, wow.
For a week.
Holy man.
That showed me what's possible. And also, all we did for most of the day was drop into these meditations.
Mm.
Those women having orgasms in the crowd.
What?
Great timing, Mark. Let's not edit that out. So there was women having orgasms in the crowd. There was blokes screaming. It was mad. And then there was one meditation that we did, right?
Nice.
He said, you need to be here. Tomorrow you need to be here at 4 a.m., right? And it's in the XL. So 4 a.m. you need to be here because we're doing something called the pineal gland activation meditation. And I'd heard about this thing. I've heard it's a bit wild. And I was like, 4 a.m. So I went in and we did this meditation. It felt like a long meditation. I was like, it must have been about 2 hours. There was a few times where, so you wear like a face mask and it's completely guided. Loud guided as well. Like the music's really loud. He's on the mic. He's like, it's a live guided meditation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I wanted to check me watch a few times and I didn't. I just stayed with it and was like, I wonder what's around the corner. We came out of this meditation. It was 4 hours, 17 minutes long.
Whoa.
And I had some mad, like I went to the fucking moon on this meditation because you were doing all this breathing stuff and I went to fucking hell. At one point, I was a rocket growing through a rainbow.
Mm.
Like, it was mad eye. It was a mad experience.
And
without drugs.
Yeah, without any psychedelics or anything added to
without
that.
Any assistance.
Yeah, yeah. So for you though, Paul, for like, where I compare myself, where I'm brought up from, where you're brought up, like, getting out of your comfort zone in that aspect is kind of frowned upon. You stay in line, stay in this line, and you act that way. You do this 9 to 5. Where did the penny drop, or where did something happen to you where you go, I got to do some changing?
Mate, there's a few things here. I've got a bunch of like these breakthrough ones. So the first one was probably when I left school, I had two GCSEs. Mm. So my options were limited. One of them was in French, one of them was in Spanish. And I'm convinced that I only passed those exams because it was an oral exam. Right? Not that I'm saying I'm fucking wicked at oral or anything, but I could talk, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So my options were limited, so I got pushed into this job by my dad, actually. It was an apprenticeship. It was actually a great job. Mm. But I hated it. And then I got fat. I stopped playing footy. Got fat. By the way, I mean real footy, not fucking Aussie rules, fucking bullshit.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't mean that. So then, no, they have all types of footy there, don't they, though?
Aussie rules, AFL, rugby league.
And none of them are actually balls.
The one they call football is soccer over there.
Is it?
Yeah, it's mad.
Same in America. But I stopped playing footy, so there was no exercise. Met who's now my wife when I was 17, by the way, which is mad. I'm 43 now. That's a long stint, isn't it? There's only one woman in the world that could live with me, and it's not me, mum. She'd be like, get the fuck out of here. So anyway, and I stopped playing football, got fat, and then I got in shape. It's mad, this. I got a book called Body for Life, right? This is the oldest school thing ever, right? Bear in mind, this would have been 1999. Yeah. That's how long ago it was. Wow. Got in shape then. And funny enough, the guy that wrote that book, I met his brother a few years ago. I was in the same program. His brother's a mate of mine now, which is mental. A guy called Bill Phillips. Anyway, so I got in shape, and then people started asking me how to get in shape, and then I was like, I wonder if there's something in this.
Yeah.
And then this is what changed everything for me, actually, at this point in my life, was if I wanted to get qualified as a PT, there wasn't anything local, nothing.
Oh, wow.
So I had to move to Leeds, funnily enough. Mm. My first job in that industry was actually sports master for Leeds Rhinos.
Wow.
How mad's that?
I played at Leeds Rhinos.
Really?
Yeah.
Hardest job I've ever had.
What year was this?
Year 2000, 2001.
Oh, okay, I was there, 2011.
I had to massage the players with fucking hell, fairy liquid. There's no money. It's when Yston Harris played for them still. Remember Yston Harris?
Yeah, legend.
He went from there to the Tykes. Mm. So he still played for them then, which is my Barry McDermott was playing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're difficult to massage. So anyway.
Fairy liquid.
Fairy liquid. What happened was, actually, you mentioned environment. I got out of my environment.
Yeah.
Because this town, listen, I love this town. It's beautiful, right? I love living here. I didn't for a few years because I blamed the town. And then I moved. I was like, actually, I got to see what was possible. I'm keen on my kids seeing this as well. Like, my kids get to be around. Fucking hell, they've met some really cool people. Like, they've met the people that have been on my podcast. My kids have spent time with them, amazing, hung out with them, been on holiday with them, like, spent days with them in fucking Dubai and places. Like, even just Tyson Fury's in Gateshead the other week. And obviously, I know Tyson, so my son got to meet him. They think that's normal, which I like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that they think that's normal, so they get to see. I never really got to see it. My dad is amazing. He had the same job for 30 years. My mum worked in Asda, so I'd never seen it before. Wow. So it wasn't as though it was like, do this, do this. It's just all people know.
Yeah.
So it's not as though they were trying to, I don't think people are trying to restrict us. I'm like, they don't know any different. Mm. So me moving to Leeds, I got to see, fucking hell, there's actually guys doing this. There's actually guys getting paid for training people. There's actually people getting paid a lot of money to do massage, for example. Yeah. So that first step out of my comfort zone, in fact, it wasn't even out of my comfort zone, it was just to a new town, to a new city. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I got definitely to see what was happening. Then after that, I lived in Harrogate. Mad, mad. I'm sure I was the youngest person that lived there. My first PT client was David Jason, Wiles and Dell Boy.
Yeah.
Wild. So I got to see Harrogate, there's money there. Mm. So I got to see money. I'd never really seen money before. And then that's just been a recurring theme, really. And I was writing, funny enough, just before you came in, I was thinking, at some level, I've been coaching people for 23 years.
Yeah.
That's mad. Makes me feel really old. So I was a PT, and then I was a business coach, and then I had a supplement company, then I had a marketing company, and then I hated that. And then even now, just like the PT, I stumbled into what I'm doing. Like, you'll know this, mate, 2014, rock bottom, ready to take my own life. And like the PT, got my shit together. People just started gravitating towards me.
Yeah, yeah.
How have you done this, Paul? You're different. How have you changed that? Again, how have you lost that weight? Being around you feels different. I love that, mate.
Yeah.
When people feel it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I say, it's another thing that I stumbled into.
It's amazing, that.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's mad.
Even that with the business coaching, I built a successful fitness business, and other fitness people were like, how have you done that?
Yeah.
That's how I met people like James Smith, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Through people asking, like, did me own thing, and then people just gravitate towards it a little bit.
Just being you. It's like,
no, just dealing with me own shit first.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. I think the best thing out of all that, you were like, you know, you probably had a couple of tough lessons, hard words with yourself.
Very hard words.
But then you got to look within then, and then you start going on with that.
It's funny you should say that. Even, let's go back, holy shit, I would say 2000 and 2007, 2008, I was running this, I was a PT and I'd gone, I'd been sacked from the gym I was working in. We'll not say why, because my wife would be listening. So I got sacked from this gym and then I was like, what am I going to do now? And luckily I had a gift of this, which I still have. And I was able to teach classes, so I was teaching fucking spinning. You had a body pump before. So a body pump, aqua aerobics, boxer size and all that. So I had a skill of standing in front of people. So I was getting paid to go to all these different gyms and teaching classes and driving to people's houses to do PT. And then one day in the morning, a guy plowed straight into the front of me and wrote my car off. So I couldn't work for 3 months. I was injured. And at that point, I didn't have a clue about business. I was self-employed, but I didn't have a clue. And I realized, actually, I've got no money. Because what was I was swapping money for time. So I was like, I wasn't doing these classes anymore. Don't get paid. There was a client that paid me up front for 8 weeks who then asked for a refund because I couldn't train her, but I'd spent the money, right? So I was fucked. And that's when I realized I didn't have a business, and even that was a wake-up call. So I started, remember forums? I was on a forum and heard about this course, which was like a, it was a business course, and it was that mad. You had to pay for it, and they sent it on CD. It was a CD box set. And and I listened to the CD and it basically, it wasn't just about business. It was like how to set up a business model that works better. And back then it was like, I was one of the, I would say I was the first person to do this in the UK. It was right, let's do this outdoor training where you pay monthly for a block and you train multiple people at once. Which I was like, okay, I'm doing that in spinning. I'm doing that in body pump. How can I do it? So, and then I started that whole bootcamp thing, which is 100 quid a month. And we had 100 people at one point doing it over the month. It was mad. It was mad. And obviously delivering value to people that like they wouldn't have kept coming back. But that was when I first started thinking, holy shit, there's something in being it. There's something about adding value to people's lives and doing it in a group format that I like best.
That's mad. That's amazing. Well, even like, you know that saying they say, selfless acts are selfish measures. So like you're doing all this good and benefiting so many people, but the reward coming back, that feel good factor coming back.
That's mate, I'm not even lying. And the money.
Exactly.
People value time spent with you. So they're willing to invest in it. So I, listen, I would like to think I put out more free content than almost anyone that I know. And I put out free content that's better than most people charge for, right? But that adds value to people's lives and people are like, I want more of this. I need more of it. So I believe that when you put out enough good energy in the world and you add enough value to people's lives and adding value to someone's lives, that's obviously very, it's very personal what people see as valuable. Which is why people will spend, fucking hell, $300 for $100 buy 3 bags for $100 on a weekend, but they won't invest in a fucking personal development program.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I do, because it's easier.
It's true, easier.
You don't have to do anything for that. You just send a text, he drops it off, and you put it, you throw it up your nose. You know what I mean? So, it's valuable, value is very personal, but you add enough value, and showing someone that you can add value to their life is just saying, you have that problem, I get it, and I can help you solve it. And if you do that enough, and it lights you up, because people feel your energy, then your value, you are rewarded by the marketplace with money. I always say this when people have a problem with it. I just did an email about this morning, same email, and I said, the challenge people have around money is that the think there's something wrong with it. I'm like, actually, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that you're rewarded. Money is an exchange of value. So if you add enough value to enough people's lives, you get rewarded by them. That's it. If you don't, then that's why. That's why you're not making it. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying. Again, it's about serving others as such then. Because you're serving others, but then that's an exchange then for...
Ollie, there's nothing like, right? There's nothing like... So my heart gets full when I hear clients tell... So we have a quarterly meeting. Last one was at Stamford Bridge a couple of weeks ago. A lot of the guys will stand up and say, here's the wins that I had this quarter. And when I hear that, I cried every single one of them. The women that cried every single one of them. But what I really love is when someone's family member tells me about the difference I've had. We get, you'll see all the cards in there. We get cards from people's wives. We get cards from women's parents. We get cards from kids saying, thank you for saving me, mum. Like, that's the shit where I'm like, holy fucking hell. Like, this is, we're having an impact on people. Like, that's the shit that really fills me up.
It's powerful, isn't it?
Unbelievably powerful.
It's like
I can't get through an event now without crying.
But no one, it's that's but that's powerful because it shows how passionate you are about it. But it's like no one, there's no script or something like, you know, when you go to school, they teach you X, Y, and Z, but no one teaches you the power in what, how moving people or in a good, positive way, changing life. No one.
They don't teach you how to interact with people, man.
No,
they don't teach you how to interact with people. It's a. In fact, I believe they're moving even further away from that. My kids are in school. My son's just started. He has a mad thing about my son. He's got this, so he's just gone into the comp. So he's year seven. And he's got this big homework task. It's a big bit of homework for half term. We've been in Tenerife for a week and he's done fuck all. We've been in Tenerife. Second week, he's done nothing for a week apart from lying in his fucking room.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't even think he's opened the curtains. Mm. Right? Red bedroom stinks of body odor and kebab, right? So he said, Dad, I've got all this homework. He said, I've got a cheat code. I said, what is it? He said, ChatGPT. He said, AI, can I use it? And I was like, I fuck it. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't you use that? Like, that's it. For me, I'm like, he's got a problem. He's found a way to solve it.
Solved it.
Easier than do it. One of them was like, write a play. Like, what fucking 12-year-old's going to write a play?
Jeez, that's a
lot. And it doesn't say you can't use AI, so yeah. I was just like, I use it, son.
So that's like, not street smart, but it's just being smarter than...
Lazy, that's all he is. He's the same with boxing. When he's boxing, he'll take the easiest option. He's not quitting, he'll just throw his jab out. Just jab, 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 jab. Yeah. And his coach thinks he's really smart. I mean, it is smart, but even in jiu-jitsu, he'll do the most efficient method. Mm. Smart. I used to call him lazy, but I'm like, actually, it is smart.
It's smart, but then the only time you'll get found then is when you go against someone who's that level above, right?
Yeah.
So, but for yourself then, Paul, you know, you've talked about your PT and your coaching and this and that. But where did the penny drop? Not the penny drop, where did the change go? You know what? I can use not just physical movement with people, but actually my talking, my connection to change people.
It was a moment in 2016. In 2016, I made a video. I used to have a guy who called Mark, and Mark would come up here every month, and he'd come from Sheffield, and we would make videos for our marketing business, right? Nice. We'd make all these marketing videos, and we'd put them out. This was way back when, so there was no reels and shit like that, right? And at the end of one day, I was like, mate, listen, I think I was feeling emotional about something. I said, listen, mate, set the camera up over there. I've got something I need to say. And I went on this fucking rant about what it's like to be suicidal, about how I ended up there, about I didn't end up there by accident. I said a lot of shit from the heart, and I just spoke. That video's now got like 30 million views or something.
Wow.
And I didn't even do it. In fact, I was that worried about it, I didn't release it for 18 months. Because I was worried about, what if my mom sees this?
Mm.
I'm talking about coke, I'm talking about weed, I'm talking about porn, I'm talking about fucking all sorts of shit. Also, I'm talking about suicidal thoughts.
Mm.
What if my mates see it? What if I get criticised? And that was when I realised, when I got a lot of negative comments on that. In fact, I have a full segment in my theatre show where I talk about it. It's funny, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I started to get loads of people saying, fuck me, you've changed my life with that. You've saved me. That was the moment where I was like, shit. I'd done all the making people laugh thing and the classes thing before.
Yeah.
But then when I'd spoke from my heart and essentially told the fucking truth, without covering up insecurities, without hiding behind imperfections, without all of that, I just fucking opened up. That was the thing where I realised, fucking hell, maybe I do have something here.
Yeah. It's powerful, that, man. But you've just being vulnerable has just done that there.
The mad part is I didn't feel like I was being vulnerable, which is really interesting.
Wow.
So I was.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was like, I have this... It's weird, this. I didn't feel weak at all, right? Because you think, oh, I'm fucking being... I don't think the word does us any favours.
Nah.
Vulnerable would indicate that I'm being weak or things are... Mm. I felt like I had fire inside of my belly, all this pain, all this anger, all this frustration, all this fire, and then I was just breathing fire.
Mm.
That's what I felt like. I was like, I need to get this out.
Yeah.
And I've done that ever since.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But then it's like, that release in you, like, it's like... We speak from our own lens, basically, don't we? But we're talking. But when you do something like that, Paul, it's like you've just taken a massive weight off your shoulders.
Exactly what it was.
It takes a bit to digest in yourself. Then,
I realized on the video, I did a podcast. You know James Haskell, right?
Yeah.
So James Haskell had me on his podcast. He was like, Paul, why do you think your stuff's been so popular? I said, because it's practical as fuck. I'm speaking from. I'm a fucking northern bloke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know any other way to talk. Mm. I can't give you loads of theory. I can't give you fluffy shit.
Yeah.
can't give you big words. I have no other way to communicate than the way I do.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, at the same time, when I look back at that, I said to Haskell, I said, I'm speaking from personal experience, not a textbook. Yeah. And people are like, I've never heard it. You spoke about it. It's like you, here's what I get. It's like you're talking to me.
Mm.
Well, I am. Because I think I spoke about things that people that have been low, who went to see a shrink or a doctor, been given meds, just fine. But they're speaking to someone that hasn't lived through personal experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When someone's lived it in personal experience, you can feel it from them.
Yeah.
So I used to go, fucking hell, mate, when I was low, we'd go everywhere. Every type of ist. If it's got an ist on the end, I'd seen them. And I could look in the eye straight away, I'd be like, you don't get it. Have you tried keeping a mood diary? What? So I can remind myself of how shit I feel. No. Yeah. I did try and keep one, but there's only so many times when I ask you how you feel, you can write shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't exactly make me feel better writing the word shit. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And then there was one lady, just across the road actually, I went to see, and she was high up on this fucking psychotherapy thing, right? And she was looking at me and she said, "You're manic now." So manic depression is bipolar. Yeah, yeah. So you have manic episodes, you have these really low episodes, right? She was like, "You're manic now." I was like, "No, I'm not." She's like, "You're manic." I'm like, "No, this is my fucking energy here." She's like, "No, you're having a manic episode." And I was like, "Fuck off." And I just left.
Wow.
And that was one of the moments where I was like, I have to fucking deal with this myself.
We need to,
The people talk about help all the time. Can you help? Can you help? I'm like, what I had to realize is that I could get help and it's nice to have support. It's amazing to have support and some guidance, but essentially, no one's going to do the work for me.
No, you got to do it.
No one's going to stop drinking and sniffing coke for me.
Yeah.
No one's going to exercise for me. No one's going to meditate for me. No one's going to take it. No one's going to speak for me. I've got to do that myself.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have support on that, but ultimately, no one's going to come and fucking save us. Mm. I have to, if it's going to be, it's up to me.
It's true that. It's like, you've just hit every nail on the head.
Yeah.
I'm trying to digest that now, Paul, but it's powerful, man. Like, again, it's.
I say it to some people, you know, Ollie, I'm like, is it that you don't know what to do? Right? Which is fine. Ask somebody. Get some guidance. Get some support. Get some tools. Get some strategies that you could use. Or is it that you're just not doing it?
Yeah.
And if it's the second one, well, why are you still looking for more answers? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do what's fucking required or create some leverage for yourself.
Yeah.
I had a lot of leverage, me, to change because essentially, when I was on suicide watch, like, it came down to the fact I wasn't willing to put my kids through that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I keep showing up, because I don't want people to feel like I felt. Do you know what I mean? That's why I do so much to try and help people. I don't want people to feel like I felt. And even more so, I don't want their families to go through what I put my wife and kids through and what I put my mum and dad through. I don't want them to have to go through that fucking hell.
What? You know, when we talk about call-ins and this, that, and the other, though, like, in this area of this path that you're going down, Paul, like, is it a path you goes, you know, who do I think I am? You know that inner voice now. Who do I think I am to do that? We talk about imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome.
Not right now. No. Not right now, no. Have I had it at various points? Have I felt uncomfortable? Yeah. Yeah. In fact, every week someone will say, you're a fucking charlatan, you're a fraudster, all this. Every week.
Wow.
I'm fine with it because that's them, that's not me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I never bite at online criticism, but when someone questions me integrity, that's where I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I've been off at 3 fights in the last week. People want to fight me.
You serious?
One guy the other day said something. He was on this fun video I did. And he said, and you're the biggest fraudster of them all, Paul the scammer mort. And it turns out he lives near me. So I messaged him. I said, mate, listen, if you want to come by and have a chat, he has me office address. Block me. So criticize me. Yeah, I'm like, mate, come and have a chat. Shit his pants.
Yeah.
Someone the other week, I'd love to punch him in the face. I was like, shall I send you the location? Just apologised. Someone on Instagram, and if you spoke to me like that, I'd fucking slap you across the face. And I'm like, shall I send location?
Keyboard warriors, man.
Ah, it's mad. It's mad. It's mad.
You gotta have thick skin. You gotta have new levels, new devils.
It's, mate, do you know what? What I realise is that if I want to help as many people as I say I want to help at the level I want to help them at, that's the cost of our mission. I can't do one without the other. So when I work with people, I'm like, you're saying you want to help people, but you're blaming confidence. Do you know what I mean? You say you want to help people, but you're blaming lack of self-belief and self-doubt.
Yeah.
You've got to do the things. What's more important to you?
Yeah.
Your comfort or helping people?
Yeah, pal.
So I've got to be like, if I don't post today, if I don't put this out there, I'm helping no cunt.
Yeah.
Except myself for a little while. Do you know what I mean? That's why I'm willing to. That's why I'm willing to step and put it on. But Collins, like right now, this is what I'm doing.
I love it, mate.
Who knows what I'm going to do forever?
Yeah. And that's the amazing thing. Like, just listening to your journey there, part of it, like, you've never gone, all right, I'm done here. You're like, all right, well, what's next?
What's next? How can we go next?
How can we grow more? And I know, I don't know if you talked about it much, but we talked about it earlier, and you're like, when I do work, because of my ADHD or whatever, you've got to be tunnel vision.
I do.
But I think ADHD is like a power tool.
Oh, me too.
I think it's like a super tool that people...
It's what I learned, right? I got diagnosed with it in 2012, before I got diagnosed bipolar. Did a bit of work on it and that, but then I was struggling so much with being rock bottom that my focus just became on not killing myself. I'm not even kidding. And then my focus became on helping more people. And it's only the last year when people started asking me about it, have you got ADHD? I'm like, actually, I have. But what I figured out is, and I learned this from a guy called Dr. John DeMartini, who I've been blessed to do some work with, and he's helped our guys out, and he's been in to do some training. And he talked about attention deficit disorder as we also have attention surplus disorder. So we have some things that when we get locked onto it, we obsess over it. We can't stop thinking about it. We talk about it all the time. We read about it. We watch things about it. We listen to things about it. And then there's other things that we just don't value that we can't concentrate on. Anything to do with numbers, I'm out. I can't.
It's true, man.
My brain's just like, nah.
I'm laughing because I can relate, man. That's scary.
There's a lot of different things that I'm like, I can't. This is not for me. This is not for me, this. So my wife's obviously involved in the business, and she's a numbers lady. And we'll put together a training for the guys and girls in our program. If it's anything to do with cash flow forecast, she'll be teaching cash flow forecasting. I'll be sitting next to her, and I'll be fucking squirming in my seat like this. Because my brain's just like, no. So what I realize is that, why am I trying to keep forcing myself to focus on things that I clearly have no interest in? I think that's what we try and make ourselves do. We try and make ourselves value things that we clearly just don't. You get me, mate? If you ask me a football question, this will be it. We're done. There'll be no mindset talk. There'll be no fucking business talk. Let's just talk football. Because that's one of the things that I value highest. So I could watch a full day of matches. In fact, the other week, Boxing Day, we went in Dubai. Sorry, you didn't. We went to Thailand. And on the flight with Emirates, they put live footy on, don't they?
So
I watched. This is the first time I've ever done it. I watched three matches back to back. Back to back. My wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, you give me shit for this at home. I said I'd do this every fucking Sunday if you would let us. But it was the first time where I've been like, I'm not getting any shit really for doing this. Three footy matches back to back, because that's what I value. I value shit like that. I can't. But that's one of the superpowers of ADHD. I can be hyper-focused, super focused on something that I value. But then, so I just stop forcing myself to do shit that I don't value. We were talking about it before. I do the shit that I love, and everything else, I'll either put some urgency on it and get it done, not do it at all, or I'll ask one of my team to do it. So my team, I've very much, most of them are the polar opposite of me.
Which is great.
Because they love the shit that I hate. And a lot of them would never, ever get on a microphone or go in front of the camera.
It's mad, isn't it? It's interesting, though.
Very mad, huh?
I think it's amazing. It's
steady as fuck.
Yeah. When I say mad, I think amazing mad, but I mean, it's amazing. I'm just immersed in how passionate you are. And because of the tunnel vision you've got, like, you've created this thing where sky is the limit for you, which is amazing because you've got this self-belief in, because you've got that tunnel vision, you've got so much self-belief in what you're doing, that you're not going to stop me. You're not going to stop this confidence. And you can tell.
I do a lot of things, you know, I do a lot of things without self-belief. Because of where I've been, I'm like, well, I can't fail. I can't fail. It doesn't mean I'm going to win, but I'm like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? I feel like killing myself. I've already done that.
Yeah, what's next?
I've already done that.
Yeah.
That's the worst it's going to get. I've already done it. I've already overcame it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, life was perfect at the time.
When you were suicidal.
Perfect. Mate, I was living in Marbella, man.
Yeah.
Had a 4-bedroom villa with a private pool, hot wife, 2 beautiful kids, car that I'd always wanted. I was working 4 hours a week. No shit, that was part of the problem.
Wow.
I was bringing home about 30 grand a month, right? No friends. So from the outside, life was perfect. From the inside, I was just fucking empty. I'd lost that sense of purpose. So that's the worst it's going to get. I'm not going to get worse than that. So I'm like, well, if someone criticizes me, fuck. No one can criticize me worse than I've criticized myself.
Yeah.
No one can say anything about me that I haven't already said. No one can hate me more than I've hated myself. It's not. So like, I can do it without self-belief a lot of the time. My next thought is just how can I impact people today?
Yeah.
How can I contribute today?
Wow, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you want to pay me, great. If you don't, I'll still put out great shit for you.
No, and that's the thing. You can't deny what you're doing.
No.
It's just, I love the... I came here today. I know knowing about you, Paul, but I came here today because some people ask me, have you got a script?
No,
I don't do scripts. I can't do scripts. I'm very off the cuff. But I think that's the power in this because you're very much off the cuff.
Yeah,
but
very off the cuff.
But good at it, you know. But when you talk about your, you know, you naturally got the gift of talking, which 100% you have. Is that something... You know, if you look to your mum or your dad or one of them have had it, or
not
it's just you.
Neither of them.
Wow.
Neither of them. No, my dad, funny enough, my dad's buzzing because we have 3 season tickets to Sunderland, quite expensive seats. And I bought 3 at the start of the season. And my daughter then decided she hates football, right? She's 9 now. Funny enough, she loved it before my son started going. She's like, oh, dad, we're going to the match and that. And then he started coming. Now she doesn't want to go. So my dad's been coming with me and my son for ages, for like probably the last 5 months. My dad's been coming. And, for a treat, I wasn't going to renew the third season ticket. And I was like, oh, fuck it. It's a chance for me to hang out with my dad. Chance for my son to hang out with his granddad. And then Max, and my son said to us last night, he said, Dad, granddad's kind of funny for an old guy. Like, granddad's really funny for an old guy. So my dad's funny, but he's not outgoing. Mm. My mum's not outgoing at all. My son's not. And my daughter's like me. And imagine a nine-year-old version of this. Me.
Do you clash, you two?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Big time. We'll have a scream, but also there's fireworks. When she's older, it's going to be a treat. It's going to be a treat, aye. But yeah, it's not something that has came naturally to me. But I think what does come naturally to me is I'm curious. So I ask people a lot of questions.
Yeah.
That's ask powerful, it. I was saying it before, I'm nosy. I'm very, my mum's nosy. Yeah. She's like, do you know, she's one of those mums where she's like, Paul, guess who died?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Well, do you know so-and-so, you went to school with his sister? I'm like, no. Well, he's on your Facebook. I'm like, how do you know he's on my Facebook? I don't, do you know what I mean? I'm like, ma'am, not only do I don't care, but it's fine. I don't, like, she's one of the, she's really nosy. So I'm just naturally, I'm curious about people. Yeah. I like asking questions. That's what my coaching style is, all asking questions. Questions.
Yeah. I can relate in so many ways, Paul, because I think, starting the podcast, doing everything I've done, I've always come out of a curious... I think I've always been a story listener. Yeah. Not a story... I can tell stories, but I used to sit there as a kid with my uncles and that there, or go to the pub with my dad and watch the rugby or the football field pub. I just sit there at the table and they're talking stories and you're just like a...
I'm fascinated by them, aye.
And then ever since... that's whenever I reflect on it. Yeah. So then as I've got older, you know, you come across sports, business people, what you're doing, Paul, amazing. And you're just sitting there going, wow. Yeah. And then... what you're fascinating, you connect to that, you go, oh, I want
shit,
to
that's cool,
that,
yeah.
And it's just amazing. But
this is how I remember this question. In fact, I've got a slide on it. I'm doing a seminar this afternoon, and I've got a slide on it where it's called Leslie's Anxious Best Mate. So Leslie's my wife. Our best mate Rachel was at an event that I was speaking at. It was, I think, David Goggins was speaking at or something. Like, I was on that stage, and she came to this event. It was at Wembley, and she was like, Paul, like, how do you do this? What do you say? Like, when people ask me what I do, I just start panicking. I said, just put the stress question straight back on them. I said, when they say, what do? You know, like, what do you do for a job? Because you get asked that, oh, so what do? I'm like, just say, loads of stuff. What do? Guess what? People can't fucking wait to tell you. So I just said, don't feel the need to talk about yourself. I have no problem doing it. But I'm like, if you want to make someone feel valued in a conversation,
ask them
a question.
Yeah.
Ask them, and what's the hardest part of that? And what's the most challenging part of that? And how did you get into that? And how long have you been doing that for?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you've got a fucking great connection with somebody.
And how do you get the most boring person when they just talk about them? You know what I mean? When they sit in a room and they just boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
All right, mate. We'll see
you. Yeah. Like yeah. And just, it changed their life.
Yeah.
Sometimes my favorite answer is when people say, so what do you do? And I'm like, about what? That's what they do. And then guess what you've got? Boom, connection. Good to go.
Yeah.
And then you can start telling your stories or they'll start telling theirs.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a curious, nosy fucker.
Yeah.
It's also me. It's the fast track to getting results. Like, I have this, there was a book came out last year. I learned it from the same guy in 2016. It's called Dan Sullivan. He put a book out called last year called Who Not How. So instead of asking how do I do this, ask like who already knows, who's already doing it, who can open doors for me, who can make that connect. I do it all the time. Doing an event in September, I was like, who can I get to speak at this event with me? And I was like, all right, well, we've had Tyson will be about 40 grand. I don't really want to spend that on a speaker. Who else do I know? All right, Freddie Flintoff.
Oh, wow.
Who knows? And this is madness. This is law of attraction shit. I hate it. I've just puked in my mouth a little bit. After I said that, I'm like, who knows him? The guy that I know who knows him is Tyson's manager. Texted me the next day saying, hey, Paul, I want to join your next 90-day program. How do I get on?
Wow.
I was like, well, funny enough, I was just thinking about you yesterday. So making that happen now. We've got Vicky Patterson's going to speak as well, I think. So, but it's just like that whole who, not how.
Yeah.
Who's already doing it? Who can open doors for me? Who can introduce me to him? Who's already doing that?
Yeah.
It's kind of what you're doing here today. Who's already doing it? Who can I get on a podcast? It's, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well. And
all it is asking questions.
Asking
questions. I learned from a guy called Steve Sims. I spoke in Puerto Rico with him last year, and he said this thing that I'll never forget. He said, every question that you don't ask is an automatic no. It is, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, how can I take this further? You'll never regret the questions that you ask. You'll only regret the questions that you didn't ask.
Yeah.
Because how many times you thought, oh, fucking hell, I wish I'd asked that. I wish I'd asked him for a photo. My son last night, right, he's this player called Dan Ballard, plays for Sunderland, he's class, got him from Arsenal, top draw. Last night, so our seats, you go in the main entrance, right, the posh entrance. As we're going in, Dan Ballard's coming in because he's injured. I was like, son, do you want a photo? And he's like, no, dad, he's getting embarrassed. He's at that age where he's embarrassed.
Yeah.
And then at halftime, he's like, oh, dad, I wish I got that photo.
Fuck.
Mad, isn't it?
It is.
Mad.
I just loved everything you just said then, Paul, because there's a book I had it off a coach years ago, and it was How to Make Friends and Influence People.
Oh, mate, Audrey book.
Yeah, yeah. Audrey, and he gave it to me.
It's one of the greatest books of all time.
And I was just reading it, and just there was no fascinating. There was nothing special about it. It was just more, like you said, asking questions all the time, and yeah, I think just the curiosity, and I think as well, like, I got to put myself in places. If I don't put myself in places to have these opportunities or grow as a person, like when I seen you and I seen your profile, I was like, I'd be dumb. I think, I don't know if you remember me, how I come across. I literally, you put a something in your story, asked me a question. I said, fancy a podcast? You're like, yeah, hit this email up, blah, blah, blah. You got to have a crack. And then from there, that was a couple months ago.
Mate, that's how I do what I do. Ask me a question. And, and my stories would be shit if I didn't do that. Honestly, I've got no idea what, like, why am I posting this? So ask me anything. And funnily enough, my friend Darren lived in Australia for a bit, actually, Darren Cartel. He did a keynote somewhere. And he said, Paul Mort's superpower is asking the question, how can I help you? I was like, I do that. He's like, you do it all the time. Every time I call you, you say, how can I help you? I was like, do I? And then someone else said, James Smith said, yeah, you do that all the time. I was like, do I? And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's really interesting. How can I help you?
Doing it subconsciously.
And me entire coaching style is asking questions, not telling you what to do, asking you questions so you can tell yourself what to do.
Regardless of the podcast, sitting here today now, listening to you, it's kind of like one of those things, like a green light moment in my head, because it's like I'm okay here. We're good.
Because
I feel like you're just an older version of me, mate, in the nicest way possible. Like, you know, but yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, I can't shoot a tackle. I can't shoot a tackle. When I train jiu-jitsu, I just sit down these days. Yeah. I don't even do double legs or any of that shit. I'm just like, let's go. I sit down first.
I remember once I got invited to do jiu-jitsu in Australia, and I went to a role, and at the time I was a little bit bigger from rugby, and I went there, and you know the way I'm going to go with this story, because you have it all the time in jiu-jitsu. And I went in, I seen this skinny little guy on the mat, and he goes,
tied you up in your own clothes.
I just got on top of him, started moving him around, and he was just smiling at me. Arms just went dead, shoulders went, he goes, are you done? And he just, boom.
Oh, really?
Knocked me out.
Your sleeve.
And I thought, you know what? That's
one of the most humbling things you can ever do, jiu-jitsu.
Is that why you got into it?
I got into it because my son started, then my daughter started. I was like, right, these fuckers are going to smash me when they're older if I don't get into this. And also, I was boxing a lot of the time. And then my wife was like, do you really need to... I broke my nose, actually. She's like, do you really need to be getting punched in the head all the time? And I started jiu-jitsu. I was like, I'm getting the same buzz, but I'm not getting punched in the head, and I can spar every day.
Do
you know what I mean? Like, Mac, who was in before, Mac's an MMA fighter.
Oh, cool.
But he's like, I'm getting punched in the head all the time, and I can only have a fight every 3 months. Jiu-jitsu, he has a match every weekend.
Amazing.
He's traveling all over the fucking place having fights, because you can do it every week if you wanted to.
Yeah. I love it. I love the MMA. I love the UFC.
I've had a bit of a fallout with jiu-jitsu recently. It's just fucking with me completely. I've hated it all year.
Just because of the...
My body's just at an age where there's certain things that my body's like, nah, you're not doing that. Man, I'm 43. The problem that I've got is because I'm competitive.
Yeah.
Because of ADHD, I'm all in or I'm all out. It's not even that, actually. It's not I'm all in. It's, I struggle to just get there 2 or 3 times a week. Yeah. I'm 6 days a week. And then it's not that I don't want to go. I'm in 6 days a week and I'm 43, running a business with 100 clients, 2 kids, right? A lot on me plates that I love. And then I'm trying to fucking compete with 19-year-old lads.
As well.
19-year-old lads who are training twice a day, who still live with their parents.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So this year I'm like, right, I'm just going to do 3 times a week.
And how's that? How do you find that, descaling that?
Challenging.
Yeah.
Challenging.
Because a part of your brain is going...
I should be in there. They're getting better and I'm not. They're getting better and I'm not. So what I've done is actually, what I realised, the day that I was like, I'm quitting jiu-jitsu, I got so many messages from lads at the gym. What are you fucking doing? Mate, lads, like, there's a guy who's one of the best in the world. He's from Wales, actually. Ash Williams. He's fucking unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, he's had something like 500 matches and lost like 3.
No
he's
way.
He's a fucking G, right? He's traveling. He's in Singapore right now. He's amazing. He even messaged me saying, Paul, what the fuck are you doing?
Wow.
My friend Lloyd, European champion, lives in Sheffield. Paul, what are you doing? And I was like, oh fucking hell, this community's quite solid, this.
Yeah.
And then James Smith's on, what the fuck are you doing, you pussy? And I'm like, oh fucking hell. And then on the day that I quit, this guy John Danaher, who's one of the top coaches probably the top coach in the world, he releases a DVD called Jiu Jitsu for Older Athletes. And I'm like, maybe I'm falling in this bracket. So I got it. And all the way through, he's explaining, he said, the problem you've got when you're older is you lose mobility, you lose flexibility, you lose explosive strength, and you lose endurance. Like, it doesn't matter how fit you try and get.
Yeah.
Someone that's younger will have more endurance than you. He said, so what you have to do is, he said, all you're left with is isometric strength, which people will call old man strength. And I was like, oh yeah, I have that in spades. And then he was like, what you have to do is you have to stop doing this thing called inversion, which is all the stuff where you're on your back and rolling over on your shoulders. And I was like, and I looked at it, I was like, in our gym, which is our gym's so competitive. Wow. And he was like, that's all we've done this year is this inversion shit. It's all we've been practicing. And then I was like, oh, that's why I've hated it. So what I've done is I've just swapped two classes a week for two privates. And in the privates, I'm working on my game.
Nice.
So my plan is to go back after 90 days and fuck all the guys up. I mean, the guys will be listening, by the way. So yeah, that's on the down low. Yeah. So I'm just working on the shit that I want to get better at, rather. Because obviously when you're in a class, you do what the professor wants to teach.
Of course.
Everyone's doing the same thing. And my body's just like, nah. Honestly, even the other day, I said to the guy I'm doing one-on-ones with, I said, can we work on, it's called a single leg X passing, right? Yeah. So I'm trying to pass this certain guard that people have put you in. And so obviously it's just me and him. So he's like, right, you need to be the person on the bottom. And I couldn't even hold the position. And then I was like, this all makes sense now. And this is why I've hated it.
Yeah, because it's not fun.
It wasn't for me. Not only was I getting smashed, which you get used to, right? I wasn't enjoying getting smashed anymore.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Weird thing to say, but I was like, my body can't do this.
Yeah.
So now I've just switched it around. So I'm kind of back enjoying it.
The buzz is back.
The buzz is back. Aye.
It's just tweaking it a little bit, isn't it?
I'm still working on things that I'm not good at.
Of course.
But I'm not working on things that I'm not good at, and my body's refusing to play.
What parts of the body is hurting the most?
Back, hips. Back, hips.
Back and hips.
And that's where I'm a bit older. I'm a bit battered around there. So back, hips, knees.
Yeah, knees.
So now I'm just it's like adapting your game, right? Footballers do it all the time. They adapt their game as they get older. Ryan Giggs ended up playing centre midfield. Shearer couldn't run anymore, so he played as... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They adapt as they get older. They move around the pitch. Roy Keane went from being box to box to holding midfielder. Do you know what I mean? They change the game as they get older. That's all I'm doing
Ryan
now.
Giggs. I love Ryan Giggs, man.
He's a player. Top shagger as well, by all accounts.
No, but you're bang on it. But then it's interesting. Like, I don't know how much stretching or trigger balling you do, man, but in the hips, because my knees, I've had, you hate it because it's like,
boring.
Yeah, lying boring. There with the ball.
So, that's why I've gone to yoga.
Yeah.
That's why I've gone to yoga. So, I went back to yoga Thursday night. In 2019, I did loads of hot pod yoga. You heard of that before? Where you're in a big tent and it's hot as fuck. So it's like doing yoga in a sauna.
Like a Bikram. Is it Bikram yoga?
I don't know. It's amazing though. I love it. And I tore me pec in 2020 and it was just lockdown, so I didn't go. Last Thursday I went back. Yeah. Mate, I started crying in the session. Tears, because I was like, do you only get a buzz when you train? You're like, this is fucking awesome. That happened in yoga.
Wow.
I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Just that feeling.
I enjoyed it so much that I was near the jiu-jitsu gym that I hadn't been to for like a month. And I went in, they were like, you're back, aren't you? I had my jiu-jitsu shorts on. I was like, no, I'm not back. I just want to come in and see you all. And then the next night, I actually went back to jiu-jitsu, which is yoga, woke something up in me. Yeah. It's weird. I was in yesterday and I'll go again tomorrow.
Do you find that when you go back in, though, that you're like, not as if there's been a gap?
No, it's better than what I thought it would be.
Why? Exactly. Better. So when I trained, I've had breaks sometimes. It's like you recharge or something.
You let things heal. Yeah. Then you let little niggles heal. And I was better than what I thought it would be. Plus, I've been on TRT for like a year now.
Okay.
And that makes a difference, I think.
What's the difference have you noticed in that TRT?
I've got a permanent stiffy. But I've noticed better recovery. I've noticed I'm holding on to muscle mass. Even when I'm not training, I'm holding on to it a bit more. I'm stronger. My recovery's better. All the reasons that I wanted to take it, and I'm like a young fucking Ryan Giggs.
Top shagger.
But only on the shagger and I. Only on the shagger and I. I remember the first time it started kicking in, I was with my wife and I was going, I'm fucking Italian or something here. I'm fucking stood now.
Yeah.
Mate, it's amazing. I. My dick gets so hard, it looks around corners. A periscope. I can't believe we're leaving that.
Everything's getting left in you. Yeah.
Funny enough, I'm on the podcast soon of the company that do the TRT.
Wow, promoting it.
But mate, it's honestly been life changing for me.
Yeah.
A big change in everything for me being on that TRT. I think it's gonna be a big deal for a lot of men. Because there's this thing you see a lot of men with really low testosterone.
What is it?
Struggle with depression, struggle with anxiety, they get to a certain age, they can't get it harder anymore. Mm. That's debilitating as fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't me. Like, I've never after I do a handstand, I have a piss in the morning. But like, I just struggle with loads of other things. Energy, recovery from exercise. Yeah.
It's interesting because I think it's evolving. I think we've gone, get rid of that, you know, hard old school man.
Yep.
Fucking hell, man. Just give it a go and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive. But I'm like, again, whenever I get a lot of shit for buying things that are expensive. Like, people give me shit for buying an ice bath. And I'm like, listen, I used to spend more. So the ice bath is about $8,000, right? It was expensive.
Yeah.
And but I've had it for 3 years now, and I use it every other day, I'd say, for 3 years, right? Yeah. And I'm like, I used to spend $1,000 a month on fucking sniff, man.
Yeah.
I used to put $1,000 a month up my nose.
Yeah.
That wasn't a good investment, was it? This is $8,000 forever.
Yeah.
And people say that. I went on this, I get every other month, I get like an IV drip, vitamin and mineral drip. Yeah. I feel amazing after I've done it. And people are like, oh, well, that's 500 quid. I'm like, yeah, you spent that in the last 2 weeks on sniffing booze.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of investment. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a, like, people don't get it.
It's like you need
It's just a values thing.
Value thing again. Yeah.
I feel good for weeks. You feel good for a few hours.
Yeah.
It's the same deal.
And it that's the big thing as well. Like, because for me, I reflect now. I think from my background, even now with my dad's an alcoholic. So my concept, the way I envision or look at people where my friends know if they're drinking or they want to get on the bag, you crack on and do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. But it's like, I want to ask you why.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
You know?
It makes them feel better. It's easy.
Makes it feel better.
But you know, like, my mates are still the same. I've still got the same friends that I've had for since I left fucking school.
Yeah.
And I don't get in their face about it because it's their deal.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that if they were having a problem with it, they'd ask me. That I'm not lecturing them and I'm not in their face about it. And to be fair to them, they're not the ones that are pressuring me to drink. I mean, it's been 16 months now since I've had a drink at all.
Amazing.
So, but I'm not in their face about it and they're not in my face about it. They're not like, oh, have a drink, you fucking pussy. I thought that would happen and it hasn't.
Mm.
Funny enough, the only place where I felt any pressure was when I was in Tenerife 2 weeks ago. All-inclusive thing. Oh, shoot. I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. I don't want to drink. They're like, what? It's really strange. Yeah. Spanish, like, waiters and that. What? My wife is the same. She's like, he's just gave me a really weird look and being really weird because I didn't want a free glass of champagne.
It's funny, isn't it?
It's like they didn't have an alternative.
Yeah.
I was really weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird. And it was the first time. I mean, I didn't feel pressure. It was just the first time that I've had a bit of a weird, vibe.
I agree with my mates have given up on pushing me. I think I've done, you'd probably be at 75 hard. I've done it a couple of times. Once you do it for a couple of times.
I couldn't do that.
Really?
Nah. I wouldn't even convince myself that I could do it. It's just my schedule's a bit. I'd need 75 days at home, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my excuse, but I'm just like, I could do quite a lot of it, but I don't think I could do 75 days straight. Fair play if I do that twice.
It. And I think I've done it, and just at the end of it, you kind of reflect, you know more, you kind of ask yourself, is that worth my time? Is that worth my energy?
Yeah.
Do I really need one or two beers just to socially fit in that circle? Yeah. And then after a while, people just stop giving you. But I remember going to a pub once and just going, can I have a water?
Yeah.
And my mate had ordered a pint for him, and he was, the guy behind the bar goes, what, you don't want a beer? It was just like, why is that frowned upon?
I think it's actually becoming, it's moving pretty fast now, all this non-alcohol thing. Like I've never, I don't even think about it much now, you know. Don't talk about it much. People are like, are you still off the booze? I'm like, yeah. I guess every time I do a Q&A, are you still off the booze? I'm like, I just don't, it's not a thing anymore. You know what I mean? Once I said I was going to do a year, I did a year. Got to the end of the year and I was like, oh, I may as well do another. Yeah. I may as well go to day 500. It was my original thing.
Wow.
I may as well do 400. And then we're at 489 or something now. I'm like, I may as well do 500. I'm like, I'll do the year now.
Yeah.
It's not something that I think about. Someone asked me today, have you found any new alcohol-free beers? I'm like, I'm not even feeling the need for that anymore. My life don't have room for it. There's no room. Yeah. There's nowhere for it to fit.
Do you think it's because though, where you're from, the way like you talked about earlier, the way you talk, and that you're just your roots, you know, you're down.
People expect it.
It's an he's a lad. Him, he sounds like a lad. He definitely, you know. So we're gonna find all. He must have that itch that he needs it still.
Mate, I'm a fucking nightmare. I'm the nightmare with energy when I haven't had a drink. Mm. Now, imagine what I'm like when I have a drink. My biggest fear was that I thought it would be boring. I was like, my life's gonna be boring here. But then I thought, and this is controversial, I drank because my life was boring.
But that's
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I drink because my life's boring. So now I'm like, well, my life's not boring, so therefore I don't feel the need to get tanked. I've always got something to look forward to on a weekend.
Yeah.
I've always got shit in what we're doing this week. My wife's actually going to Marbella. Me and the kids are going skiing.
Nice.
On a dry ski slope. And we're going for steak, and I'm going to get the Traeger grill on. You seen one of them? For the Traeger grill.
No.
It's the thing that Joe Rogan promotes. It's like a wood chip
nice.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
But you can just set an app. You tell it what you've got in. Set an app. Tell it what temperature. You put a probe in the meat, leave it, and it tells you when it's ready.
Wow.
The other week, I was an hour away. I put the probe on. I put it on in the morning, and I could switch it off from the app, saying it was done. It's pretty cool. So we'll do that. And then next week, we're at Sunderland Watford on the Saturday. Then we're going to the Old Firm Derby semi-final game.
Oh, nice.
Got tickets for that. And we have that every weekend. I've always built in. So even if it's people are like, oh, well, it must be nice if you got the money. I'm like, well, no, the week after that, we're going to fucking walk up what we're doing? Hell Villain or something it's called? Hell Villain. It's a mountain.
Okay.
I don't know if it's that real name. I don't know if it's the real name. I think it's in Wales, actually.
Is it?
I think so. Or it might be in the Lake District, but the kids want to do that. Like, that's free. I'm looking forward to that. Do you know what I mean? There's always something in, so I don't feel the need. Like, oh, I'm going to get pissed.
Yeah. But, like, again, it goes back then, though, to, like, everyone look for the weekend to have their fun, where if you're doing shit you enjoy every day, you don't go, Saturday.
I have a lot of fun on weekend. I have a lot of fucking fun on a weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. You just have to be a bit more organised and be willing to do it. And this year I haven't been tempted to drink at all, but last year there was loads of moments, and I'm not pretending I'm holier than thou. It's not, I don't want to sound like a vegan CrossFit. I don't preach on it, but it's been one of the most empowering things I've done. And one of the things that I was saying, I was on the, have you heard of 1 year no beer?
Yeah.
I was on their podcast, amazing. Pretty big podcast. And I was saying, one of the things I've had to make is that not drinking was never the goal. The goal was loads of other things, and not drinking was the thing that would stop me from getting those things. Exactly. Like drinking, if I drank, I wouldn't have been able to do all that other shit. Mm. So I was like, actually, that became part of the work.
Yeah. Amazing, man. Well, look, we'll wrap it up, you. But before we end it, I always ask my guests, what are you grateful for?
I am grateful for the opportunity to be on your podcast, Ollie.
Thank you, brother.
And for all you guys listening in.
Mate, what I'm grateful for, coming up here today, opportunity. And man, just, it's good to meet people like you. Generally mean that.
I appreciate it, brother.
You're here all the time. And the last thing is, we might not remember everything we talk about, but we always remember that feeling. Remember that feeling that we left you with, you know? Yeah. So that's what I'm going to remember. So
amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.